Okay, we are picking up two lines from the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored by the Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, as well as Moshe Kalman ben Yehoshua, the Neshama Shel Rav and Eliyah. Says the Gemara, Atzit Shel Echad Izraim Shel Acher, that if you have a pot, so we're continuing discussing the pot lane in Gittin, so now we're talking about in terms of the pot and the halachas of Kinyanim, how to acquire this pot. So the Gemara tells us, if you have an Atzit Shel Echad, a pot belongs to one person, Uzraim Shalacher, however the seeds, meaning the vegetables that are growing in this pot, they belong to Shimon. Machar Bal Atzitz Lebal Zraim. So if the owner of the pot sold his pot to the owner of the seeds, to Shimon, Kevan Shemashach Kana. Once the Shimon brings the pot towards him, he does Kinyan Meshicha, which we know that's one of the Kinyanim that is able to be Koner property, which is movable metaltalin. So that is something which is okay. So he brings it, it doesn't act a Meshicha, the Lach is, then it is good. Machar bal zraim lebal atzitz, but if the owner, now the other way, the owner of the seeds, so Shimon is now selling to Reuven his seeds, lo kanat sheyachzik bezraim, that the Reuven is not going to be kona until he has a kinyan chazaka. So unlike the pot, which is detached from the ground and therefore acquired through Meshicha, and it could be acquired like metaltalin, when it comes to the seeds over here, since they are part of the ground, therefore it has the status of karka. And something we see from over here, that things that are done through karka cannot be, even though physically here I can't lift it up, but it doesn't matter. Since it's halakhically defined as something which is like karka, then you can only be kone in methods of karka, which is through shtar, chazaka, and we have a kesef shtar chazaka. Those are the only three ways you can be kone. When you can be kona real property, when you can kona karka. So therefore, you have to, that is, since we view it as karka, that's the halacha. He has to do a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka is other, the things like when you, noel gadal v'parat, that's the lashon of the Gemara in the Mishnah Bavavasra, that you lock it, you show ownership. You show ownership by locking it up or by going through it, opening it, whatever it is, taking the keys. There's different actions in Bava Basra that we discuss that has the kinyane chazaka on a piece of property. So now the Gemara continues. But what if I own both the pots and the seeds? Now I want to sell the whole thing. I'm going to sell the pots and the seeds to another person. So the lach is hechzik bezraim kana atzitz. So if the guy who's buying it, he does a kinyan chazaka, as we just mentioned, the kinyan chazaka on karka, so then he would buy the pot. He would buy, sorry, then kana atzitz. So then he would acquire the pot, v'zoi shishanino, and this, meaning he's acquired the pot as well as the seeds. So that's the halacha, because nechasim she'en lamachrayos, that movable property, nickname in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, tells us can be kona nickname in nechasim she'esh lamachrayos bekesef b'shtar v'chazaka. The Mishnah tells us that if I have movable property and I want to sell it along with my property that I'm actually selling you, so they can be sold together. They can be sold together through a kinyan agav. A kinyan agav means that agav, that meaning by way of selling the property, I'm also selling you the movable property that's on it. That's the halacha of a kinyan agav. And that's how you do it. So these cases, seeds are attached to the ground. They have the status of, as we just mentioned, karka. So when you do the kinyan chazaka, you also are acquiring the pot, which is movable property through a kinyan agav. Now just remember, I'm just throwing out there in my head. I don't remember. I thought kinyan agav. Now I'm getting confused whether kinyan agav has to be that the movable property is on that. Here clearly you have that. I'm just wondering in general. If I don't remember, you could let me know. Kinyan agav, if a kinyan agav can also be that the property is not, that the metalton that you want to sell is also not on the property. It's beferish halacha, I just don't remember. So now the Gemara continues, echzik ba'atitz, if the purchaser, but either way here, you definitely have both, so there's no shayla. But here, if the guy is buying it, he did a kinyan chazaka on the pot, af atitz lokana, then he's not going to be buying, you're not able to buy metaltalin by performing a kinyan chazaka on metaltalin. That's what we just said. So we see from over here, ba'etzem, that's something which is some important gemara. Rosh Hashanah pointed out this gemara because we see fundamentally that any kinyane karka do not work for metaltalin and vice versa. Even though physically now you can, usually it's 99% of the time not shayach. I'm selling you a piece of land, you can't pick it up and move it and do meshicha or any of the hagbah or any other kinyanim. That's why this is a very important gemara, because we see from over here fundamentally, if something is defined as karka, then fundamentally it's something which you are not allowed to do the kinyone of metaltalim. Even if theoretically here is something you can pick up, still you're not allowed to. So that's the halacha over here. Okay, that was the halacha in regards to kinyanim. That's what we see over here. Now the Gemara continues. What about nikva ba'aretz halacha of tumas ha'maisros with regards to this pot? If you have this pot again, it has a hole in the bottom, and the bottom where the hole is, that's in Eretz Yisrael. V'nofa b'chutzar, however, the branches are extending into chutzaretz. So we know only in Eretz Yisrael you're chayav in tumas ha'maisros, and in chutzaretz you're not, at least in the level of deraisa for sure. Abaye amar basar nakva azlina. So Abaye says we go after where the hole is to determine if it's, meaning if the hole is in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be chayav in Shumas and Maestros. And if the hole is in Chutz La'aretz, then you would not be chayav in Shumas and Maestros. However, Rava disagrees. Rava Amar Basar Nofa Azlina. Rava says that we go after the branch, and if the branch is in Chutz La'aretz, then you don't have to take off Shumas and Maestros, and if the branch is in Eretz Yisrael, then you would have to take off Shumas and Maestros, according to Rava. So the Gemara now points out that we're limiting the machlokas. Bide Ashrish Kuliyama Lo Pligi. Now when the plant is growing roots outside of the soil of Eretz Yisrael, then everybody agrees that the location of the branch is not going to be the determining factor. The meaning that even Rava is going to be moda in such a case that the plant has actually had roots really funded, like sunking in the ground, and therefore, therefore the nourishment is coming from there and not from the air of the branches. However, the machlokas is kipligi b'delo ashish. The only machlokas where the plant has not grown its roots outside, and that's where Rava wants to taina that we should be focused primarily on the fact that the branches are going getting nourishment from the air, in which case the branches are the ikar, and you go after the branches. So the Gemara says, is that so pashut that it shouldn't be machlokas Rav and Abaye when it comes to uvede ashrush? Uvede ashrush lopik, is it really so pashut? Says the Gemara, we're going to be machlokas lachora, that is very machlokas in Tanayim. So maybe Rav disagrees and holds like this other Tana, that's none. The Mishnah Bava Metzia tells us that if you have shtei ganos zo al gavizu, you have two gardens and one is above the other. So if you have two gardens and one is above the other, v'yarek ben esayim, and there's vegetables in between them. So one is side by side, but one's a bit higher, more elevated than the other one. So and then you have, in between them you have vegetables. So Rabbi Meir Omer, Shel Elyon, Rabbi Meir says that the vegetables belong to the owner of the upper garden, because he has understanding that the plants are getting their nourishment from the soil of the upper garden, and therefore they belong to the person in the upper garden. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shel Tachton, that they belong to the lower garden. So what do we see? That Rabbi Yehuda understands that the plants are getting their nourishment from the air of the lower garden, and therefore their produce belongs to him. So if we see that the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda understands that even the plant is clearly has its roots in the ground, it's getting its main nourishment from the air and through the branches, and therefore the lower garden gets it. So Lechora, how is the Gemara assuming it's Dara Pashut that Rava would say that this, he doesn't argue on a bite. Maybe Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and there is a Machlokas even Bide Ashrush. So the Gemara says, Hasam, that in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, Kedegatani Taima. There, the Mishnah says explicitly, Amar Rabbi Meir, Maim Yirtze Elyon Lital Es Afro in Kanyarek. There's a different reason over there. Rabbi Meir says because the upper garden wants to remove the ground, his ground, his dirt below him, then there would be no vegetables and pashut, it should be belonging to the one in the upper garden. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Maim Yirtze Tatlim Elos Es Gnos Afar. The same thing though, I could fill it up with dirt, and then also there would be no vegetation either. There would be no, in Kanyarek, there would be no vegetables growing there. So he argues, therefore, it belonged to him because he's allowing it to grow in his airspace. So we see Rabbi Yehuda's reason is not because Be'etzem, they're receiving their main nourishment, but rather because he has the ability to prevent the thing from growing. So we see that not necessarily based on that, and this is just a specific halacha that doesn't necessarily have the comparison to the halacha of Chumas and Maisos. So therefore, we can really make the claim that Abaye and Rava, really Rava, would agree to Abaye in the case of Ashrush, that everybody would agree that the branch is not the determining factor in such a case, and we can't bring a raya against that from that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Vakasi b'de ashrus lo pligi." You're going to tell me that the case of the plant has grown roots in Eretz Yisrael, everyone agrees that there is a chiyuv v'hatanya. Is that true? The Braisa seems to say otherwise. Ilan mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. If you have a tree that's partially in Eretz Yisrael, partially in chutz la'aretz, so you have the tree was exactly on the border, so the trunk is on partially in Eretz Yisrael, and the trunk is partially in chutz la'aretz. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wants a taina that you're not allowed to eat any of this fruit, because if you have fruit that's grown in Eretz Yisrael, obviously that's called tevel, you have to take off Chumas HaMaisos Aser to eat it. Fruits grown in Chutz La'aretz are pater from Chumas HaMaisos. So according to Rabbi, each and every one of the fruits over here are partially tevel and partially ordinary fruit. And since the fruits are only partially tevel, you're not allowed to take off something which is fully tevel and have in mind to take those off that are only partially tevel. And similarly, you're not allowed to take off from min ha'ptur al chayev either. And min chayev al ptur, you're not allowed to take off from something that's not chayev to something that is chayev. So if you have things that have both, Rabbi Yehuda says there is no way to eat this, and therefore you're not allowed to eat this produce. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Shimon Galmiel Amer, Agadol, Agadol, Bechiyev, Chayev, Agadol, Pater, Pater. No, why? That which grows in the area of Eretz Yisrael is going to be chayav and shumos and maisos, and the fruit that grows outside is going to be putter. It's not mixed each and every fruit. Rather, we look at the fruits together and see which, we look at the fruits individually, rather, and say that the ones that are grown in Eretz Yisrael are going to be Eretz Yisrael produce, and the ones that are grown in Chutz Arts are the Chutz Arts, or Chutz Arts produce. So now the Gemara as finishes the kasha. My love, miktas nofo ba'aretz and miktas nofo b'chutz aretz. So the Chor is a brisa not speaking of a case where the tree branch is located partially in Eretz Yisrael and the other part of, and the other branch is located outside of Eretz Yisrael, implying that either where it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter where the trees grows. The fact that there is trumas and maestros mixed in because. Even if they grew entirely within Eretz Yisrael, outside Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe would understand that the plant is receiving its nourishment from both the soil and the roots, and as well as the air through the branches, and therefore that's why it's mixed. And we are fundamentally pointing out that you have part of the branches getting the nourishment from the air. So then, how could you assume again that Rava would pashut say that when the plant grows the roots in Eretz Yisrael, that it's pashut part of Eretz Yisrael? Maybe Rav Yehuda here would disagree with that, and maybe in fact Rava follows the shita of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, that is not the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Gamliel and Rav Yehuda. Miktas sharshin ba'aretz, miktas sharshin ba'chutz la'aretz. That the case of the machlokas is where part of the roots grows in Eretz Yisrael, and part of the roots grow outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then the fruits that are growing on the side of Eretz Yisrael are pashut part of Eretz Yisrael, and the ones that aren't, Rabbi Shimon does not consider them deriving any nourishment from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore they are pater, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda says they have both of them. To which the Gemara says, if that's the machlokas, so my time at Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel assume that not every piece of fruit is in fact nourished by both of them, by all the roots, in which case it has tevel and things that are pater from Shumas and Maestros together, like Rabbi Yehuda Warnatine, and therefore there is no Eitzel, you can't fix these fruits. Why would he assume that they're each one, that they're the side that they're growing on necessarily is indicative of how they got their nourishment? So the Gemara says, Demafsik Tsunuma. So that, the Braisa telling us, where an underground section of the rock is separating the roots along the border of the tree. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're understanding that on each side of the border, they're getting the nourishment from the specific root that was there, and not from the other root that was in the one from Chutz La'aretz Yisrael, and vice versa also. So the Gemara says, my time with the Rebbe. So then what's the reason for Rebbe? If that's the case, that they're separated along the border, that's a good point. So then they're not receiving any nourishment, and they're not partially, they shouldn't be partially tevel at all. The ones that are going to Eretz Yisrael are fully chayav and shumas and maizos, and the ones in Chutz La'aretz are fully not chayav and shumas and maizos, like Rav and Shimon Mantataina. So the Gemara says, the har arave, because we're talking about a case where the nutrients are drawn from the roots, are mixing in the trunk, so that every fruit receives the nourishment from both the soil and from both the soil on both sides of the border of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it has both together. So what exactly is the soda machlokas? Rebbe understands that, Rebbe Danasi understands that the roots are completely separate underground, but you still are mixing all of the nourishment, and therefore we view the trunk as a unit who is therefore getting nourishment from both sides of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it says, Ba'etzem, we're allowed to separate it, and we can assume that the nourishment from one side is going to Eretz Yisrael side, and the one from Chutz La'aretz is going on the Chutz La'aretz side, and therefore you're pater from Trumas or Maestros on the Chutz La'aretz side, whereas in Eretz Yisrael you are not. Fine, that was the Shita up until now. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Omer, that we don't write a get on something on a diftera, unfinished partment, or something that had been previously erased. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Asi Mishmei De'ula Gimel Orosen. There's three types of hide which are used, can be used for writing, a type of cloth to be used on the hides. So what are they? Matzah, chefa, v'diftera. There's matzah, chefa, and diftera. So how these type of hides? Not matzah like we eat, but rather it's called matzah because it has a nickname for that. Matzah kemashma. Matzah is like its name implies. It's a hide which wasn't treated with salt or flour or gallnuts, and that's why we call it like matzah, because similarly our matzah, we don't do anything to it. It's just dough, which was didn't become chametz, which you just put in the oven and you immediately take it out. So that's the first type of hide, which is used as a cloth. It's very not touched with any other materials. So what halacha does this affect? Lo tzal Shabbos. So we know that there is an issur d'oraisa to carry from Rishus or Yachid to Rishus or Rabim. So if one carries something which has a function, then he's going to be chayav the issur d'oraisa. However, if it's not functionable, what you're carrying, then midoraisa you'd be pater. Midorabanan you're not allowed to, but it also means to be a chatzishir, even midoraisa. No, Pasha says it's not even chatzishir. It's not your pater midoraisa. So that's the shayla. How much should be the shir? So the mayachaz al tzal Shabbos kama shiru. So what's the minimum size? Ketani bar Shmuel, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, kidei latzur mishkal ketana, enough to take a small weight. as Rashi defines the plummet of the famous weight that you're using. V'kama, and how much is this small weight? Amarbaye, kerevia, deriyah, de pumbedisa. It's the size of a fourth, the small weight of pumbedisa. That's the amount of this matzah type of hide as a cloth. That's the minimum amount you would be chayav for taking on Shabbos in Isser Dereisa. Chayfa, what's chayfa? Demeleach v'lekameach v'lo afitz. Chayfa is a type of hide which is salted, but not treated with flour or gallnuts. L'may elchosa, what alacha, same another thing. L'otzah Shabbos, v'kama shiruk tenan, or k'bilas was kamiya. This chayfa is large enough to make a kamiya, to make an amulet, and this that was partially tanned. It was suitable for making kamiyas. Diftera, so what's the case of diftera? Diftera, which is treated with salt and flour, but not with gallnuts. L'may elchosa, l'otzah Shabbos, similar thing with l'otzah Shabbos. V'kama shiuro, k'de lichtov as a get, to write a get. So this is the chora, the opinion of the Rabbanan and our Mishnah, who allow a get that is written on a diftera. The Mishnah on Shabbos tells us that is large enough, a little bit different, to write the smallest section of tefillin, which is smaller than that for diftera. So it's impossible to establish size for diftera because tefillin are not allowed to be written on diftera, as she points out. So that's why it's a bigger shear of writing a get for diftera. Fine. Now the Mishnah continues with Chacham Machshirim, that a get that is previously erased or a diftera is kosher. So the Gemara points out, Man Chachamim, who is the Shita of the Chachamim that explained like this? So Amar Rabbi Lazar is a little confusing over here. This is Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, who is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora. He's the Amora. He's saying that it's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar here. It's the Shita of Rabbi Lazar the Tana, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, who was, right, he was in the time of Rabbi Gamliel. He is the Tana. So he is the opinion that Dalmar Edim Asira Karsi. He says that the witnesses who are watching the get being delivered, they are the Iker witnesses, and therefore theirs are the Iker. So as the point we pointed out, that's the famous machlokas we mentioned every few dapim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, whether it's Edim Asira Karsi or Edim Chasima Karsi. If you hold Edim Mesira Karsi, like Rabbi Lezer holds, that it's the Iker point is the witnesses who witness the get being given over. So the Pasuk says Vikasa, which we learn in Vikasa of law has to be Lishma. What has to be written? According to Meir, I understand very well that the signatures need to be signed, and make sure it was done Lishma by the witnesses. That's the signature is the Iker point. But Rabbi Lezer doesn't have that. You don't even need witnesses at all in the level of Daraisa, according to Rabbi Lezer on the get. The only reason you put them on the get, according to Rabbi Lezer, is Darkei Shalom, the woman should be able to use it as her Shtar Raya to get divorced and prove that she had been divorced before, and you say these are the witnesses that signed on it. Fine, because the witnesses might go away, they might not find them, so that people know the signatures. They know that everyone knows that Reuben and Shimon lived in Yerushalayim. Those, everybody know them, and that would be able to get divorced. So when it comes to the writing of the get, though, Vikasav is the actual sofer has to write it Lishma. So therefore, if we hold that Edim Asira Karsin, you have to have the witnesses selling it over here. So Rabbi Lazar's understanding that the actual material that you're using isn't as important. He's not concerned as much about forgery, because if she wanted to remarry with a get written on paper, who think could be erased theoretically, she would have to produce the witnesses of the get to verify that the get had been kosher at the time that she gave it. And they will, in fact, be made that this was a kosher get at the time we gave it. So who cares that she can erase whatever she wants to write afterwards? They'll say, no, there was no provision that he's giving her $1 million or that he had to, or that she couldn't go to her father's house for a month or something like that. Like all the tanaim that theoretically he could have made as a condition for giving the get on the get itself, the witnesses will remember that. That's fine. There's no problem. And Rashi also continues his marach a little bit. Rashi points out, why shouldn't it be the shita of Rabbi Meir, though? Understands that it's the witnesses, because Rashi explains that since Rabbi Meir doesn't require the witnesses to observe the fact that it was given at all, so the Tana would understand, the Tana would be concerned about the fact that it could be forged. Because when she wants to remarry with the get written on paper, you can erase it, she's not going to bother to produce the people who actually signed it, she's just going to show that it was a witness signatures, and she's going to add whatever text she wants to the original get. So therefore, Meir does not allow the use of diftera because he's afraid that she can, in fact, forge the points of the get. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Lazar again, the Amora says, "Lo echshir Rabbi Lazar el alter." That this halacha, Rabbi Lazar would only allow it if she brought the get to Beis Din on the day she received it in order to inform the Beis Din of her divorce and be able to get a patur from the Beis Din that she's allowed to remarry. So because the witnesses are going to remember the Tanaim, any conditions that had been made in the get, like he says, don't visit your father for 6 months, okay? So she has to keep that in order for the get to be chal. Aval mikana zar sar yamin, but if she delays the get for up to 10 days, and definitely past 10 days, lo, Rabbi Lazar would not be mekil. Chashina Dilma Havet Tanaveya Vizayavta, she's going to make up that there is no Tanah. She's going to erase that part of the get. And then the witnesses aren't going to remember that there was this Tanah that you're not allowed to visit your father for 6 months after you get divorced. And they're going to forget about that. And that's going to end up hustling the get. So therefore, we don't allow it if she delayed in showing the thing. Because if she doesn't have enough time to erase it and put it back together, that is fine. That's like the day of or a few days later. But after that, for sure, it's going to be puzzle. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Marfilo Mekanvada, sorry, Yamim. For sure, up to 10 days, they're going to remember. For sure, up to 10 days, Rabbi Yochanan says, the witnesses are going to remember. Oh, they, of course, you made in the Tanai of the get. The husband said that you're not allowed to visit your father for 6 months, and you have to keep that. So obviously, that is something which he would not be able to then make up, because they'll remember it, says Rabbi Yochanan. Fine, Viter says Rabbi Lazar. Remember Rabbi Lazar. Again, Rabbi Lazar, the Mora, Loechshir Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, Ella Begitin. That this halacha of the diftera is only kosher for gittin because the whole purpose is to remove it, and they will remember the tanai right away because it's only can be produced right away. Aval b'shar shtaros, when it comes to other documents which are collected for, let's say, a loan document or things that are generally held for long periods of time, Pashur Abelazar would be concerned that there would be a tanai that would be erased and the original witnesses would not remember that tanai. You should write, this is the star, the famous star, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told through Nevuah to Yirmiyahu, that he should buy his cousin's field right before Galus Bavel, because it's showing that in 7 years they're going to come back and have the start rebuilding the second base of Mikdash. So here, Yirmiyahu told Baruch Ben Neriah to keep the star on this klicheres, an earthenware vessel, so that it would be able to last a long time. So we see clearly that Yirmiyahu wanted the document to last a long time. We see that generally, shtare mechira and shtare halva should be things that last a long time. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, afila b'shtaros, even if it was a shtar was written on a diftera, it is kosher. So the Gemara says, v'haksev minin, the pasuk says explicitly that you should have documents of mechira and loans that should be leman yamdur yamin rabbi. The pasuk says that they should last many days, which is clearly not the case of diftera, which can fade and not be lasting a long time, and also be forged after a long time. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that lechachila, that's the way, hasam etz tova kamash milan, that giving you good advice to protect yourself, that if you want to make sure that the guy's not going to falsify his claims against you and write up this whole shtar, then you should lechora do this. However, halachically, it's not ma'akev if you didn't. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're going weiter in the Mishnah. Hakol k'shirin lechtov as a get. Everyone is kosher to write a get. Wait, we're going to see which part of the get this is, and where I was going to talk about this. Afilu chayr shatav katan. Even generally, the three people who don't have das and are not considered kosher for other situations, here they're allowed to write a get. Haisha k'sev says gita, a woman's allowed to write her get. We quoted this in yesterday's daf. That was the point that she is going to then halachically give over the get to the husband, and then the man might write his own receipt and then halachically acquire it for the wife. And that is because the maker of the shtar has to be the one who is the one who owns it. So they are going to be maknet to them. Shein kim a get ela b'chosma, because the validation of the document is only by the people who signed it. That's what we see from the end of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah continues. V'ha lav b'nei de'aninu. How could it be that these three people are allowed to write a get? They don't have das. How could they write lishma? This get has to be written lishma. Amar Rav, now turning on to Chaf Gimel Mod Aleph. We're going to go a little bit weiter because we have more time and tomorrow's daf is very long. So we're going to go through a few lines of this daf. V'usha gadol omen agabav. The Tana is permitting one of these people, it only provided if you have an adult there who's telling him to specifically have lishma for Reuven divorcing Sarah. So this is a shita of Rabbi Lazar's understanding. Because of law has to be written lishma. Rav Meir understands that the signatures of the witnesses are the ones validated. He doesn't necessarily care as much. Rav Huna's lechora understanding that the Mishnah does follow the shita of Rabbi Lazar, and therefore the Tana is teaching us that although a get must be made lishma, if you have the person looking over them, that apparently can be, that's a big chiddush, that would be the case. So that we're talking about this is following the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, and that's how he's able to explain the Mishnah even a little bit of Rabbi Lazar. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says Rav Huna, Ela Ma'ata. But if it's, is that really true? Ovid Kachav Yisrael Omed Agaba. If you have a non-Jew then, writing a get, and then Yisrael is going to tell me that Yisrael looks over and then the get is going to be kosher, Achanami to kosher, and you'll maybe argue, yeah, Bechitei Ma'achanami, it should be kosher, you're right, because his das doesn't matter, it's the das of the Gadol looking over him. But Tanya, the braces says explicitly, Ovid Kachav in Pasul, Ovid Kachav is Pasul. So I have an explicit brisa which says that it's not kosher. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna will respond that even Rav Elazar will say Oved Kachavim the Daita Denashi Aved, that in generally he has das, he's perfectly competent, and his das is not going to be for that person that you tell him, because he's a goy, he doesn't care, he's thinking about other people. However, the people who have no das in a certain level over here are better, because they don't know how to think at all. The katan doesn't know how to think, so you tell him it's for Reuven divorcing Sarah. Reuven divorcing Sarah, then he's going to have in mind someone with a mental, right, the person who's not mentally there. So you tell him it's Reuven divorcing Sarah, Reuven divorcing Sarah, so that das is enough, apparently, to give over when you are supervising him and you see that it was done properly. So then Rav Nachman changes position. How do I Rav Nachman? No, love milsa damre. That I don't have to answer the brisa like that. We know that my kasha is not a good kasha because a goy is puzzled to bring a get. We know the Mishnah tells us that an Oved Kachavim is not Misha Eino Shayach Begitin Bekidushin is not allowed to become a shliach for getting kedushin either. So they're explicitly puzzled for bringing a get and also kedushin to be a shliach. Michlad in an ksiva kasha, but that implies that an Oved Kachavim is in fact kosher to write a get according to this brisa. So if that's the case, Vatanya, but the Breisa, Lachor, the Breisa is telling us, Oved Kochavim Pasul, and Oved Kochavim is Pasul from writing a get. So says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbi Elazar hi, that this Breisa is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Damar Eidim Mesira Karsi. That Breisa, I can just answer very more simply, Rav Nachman says. I'll answer that opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that understands that fundamentally Eidim Mesira are the ones who are the Iker form or the get, and they need the writing to be performed Lishma of the woman. And the Oved Kochavim will not write a get for the sake of the woman being divorced, even if he's instructed to do so. And therefore, he's acting on his own mind, and that's why over here. So since Rabbi Elazar understanding that it's not the signatures, but rather the writing, so he's going to postulate that. And that for that reason, the Braisa telling us the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, it disqualifies Oved Kochavim for writing a get. Our Mishnah, though, according to Rav Nachman, follows the Shita of Rav Meir. That's the Pashtus. Rav Meir is the author of our Mishnah, not like Rav Huna, and therefore it would not be disqualified. So let's go a little bit further. Amar Rav Nachman, Omer Hayar Rav Meir, Afila Matzah Bashba. Rav Meir understands that even if someone found a get in the garbage, and the names are written, Reuven divorcing Sarah, and they were right, Chasmu Nasnila, if he signed them though, the witnesses who signed them had it Lishma, that Reuven is divorcing Sarah, then it's going to be kosher. Even though the get was clearly not written Lishma, we see that doesn't matter according to Rav Meir. That's what we said, that's a fundamental machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar as a result of Eidim Asira Karsi and Eidim Chasima Karsi, is does the get need to be written Lishma? According to Rav Elazar, of course it does. According to Rav Meir, no, it does not. So now the Gemara asks, Eitzi Vei Rav Nachman, Rav has a kasha on Rav Nachman. Because of law, the pasuk says that he should write for her a kasha of law, Lishma, it should be for her. My love, Ksivas, I guess, isn't that referring to the Ksivas I get, the actual writing of the get itself, the text? How could Rameir say that it's not that way? No, the Gemara is simply, like we've been saying throughout the entire Masechta, is lo chasimas eidim. The fact that it says vikasavla, it means that the witnesses on the signing of the get, that's the writing over here. They signed that it was lishma, and therefore it's referring to the signatures because that's the most important writing. They're creating the get. And the husband had the witnesses sign and find the get with the right person in mind. Rameir is telling us that this is kosher. So the Gemara says, "Asi v'Rav Nana the Kasha Rav had from Nachman Kol Get Shnichtav Shlosh Loshim Isha Pasul. Any get that's written out for the sake of the woman is pasul. This Mishnah again, Lechora is understanding it's a filler of Meir, and Lechora is Rav Meir, and yet it's telling us it's pasul. Ema Shnichtav Shlosh Loshim Isha Pasul. No, that Mishnah is referring to that it wasn't signed. That's what we answer it. No Kasha from over there. Okay, we'll pick up the third. You know, let's just do one. We'll stop. Yeah, let's keep going. Asi v'Rav. Rava says, according to Rav Nachman, Kishu Kosva. When he writes the get, ki'ilu kosval ishma, that it's as if he writes the get for her sake. My love, kishu kosval a Torah fishma, ki'ilu kosval tofes ishma, that when he writes a Torah fishma, it's like he writes a tofes ishma, clearly indicating that the text of the get has to be written lishma, which again is against the shita of Rav Meir, to which the Gemara answers, oh, here also, lo, kishu kosmo lishma, when he signs the get for her sake, ki'ilu kosval lishma, it's as if he writes it for her. That's what we're answering over here. Or another way to deflect this kasha against Rav Nachman, who is the author of these braces and these tanaim? That's not the shita of Rav Meir Bichlal. That's the easiest answer. But Lazar Yidamar Yidam Asir Karsi, and he does in fact require the get to be written lishma. So all those mishnayos, there's no kasha. Because throughout Shas mishnayos, we have this fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So these mishnayos are one is following one and one is following the other. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf. It's a very long daf tomorrow. So Be'ez Hashem, I think it was good that we went halfway through over here. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, tomorrow's stuff.